Well, kids, today is All Saints Day or All Souls Day. In the Catholic Church, All Saints Day, November 1st, and they remember the venerated saints. And All Souls Day, they remember everybody. In the Methodist Church, we call it All Saints Day, November 1st, and we remember everybody. And we remember those intentionally as people who've gone on into the arms of God. Now, we don't know exactly what heaven is like, but we know if God is there, then it is very, very good. In some churches, there's a call and response at the opening of the service. And I'm going to try it. Now, if there were kids here, I'd say watch and see. Now, so all of us can watch and see, and who knows it from some other experience. But let's try it. God is good.
God is good.
Nope.
God is great.
God is good. The response is all the time. And then I say all the time, and you respond with God is good. So let's try that. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. Let's try that again. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. There we go. So... Woo! So do you hear that? God is good. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Okay, all the time?
Yeah.
All the time. So I'm looking at a room full of people. Everyone has had someone pass away. It's part of life. We don't get through it without that. So let me tell you something, though, that often happens. Sometimes it's not that helpful, although people intend it, maybe. Someone is sad because someone they love died. So someone tries to comfort them and say, well, God needed another angel.
Yeah.
Yes, whoever said that. right. But what happens then is then the person could end up mad at God, thinking God made that person die because God needed them more than they were needed on earth. Well, let's go back to that call and response. If I say God is good, and you tell me all the time, well, then how would God ever want someone to die and leave the people they love? I just don't believe it. Now, if I say God is good and you tell me all the time, maybe I need to think about it differently. Maybe it's not that even though God is good, God makes people die, but maybe it's even in those awful situations when people die, God is still good through that time. God is with us. God sends us blessings through other people in that time. So if God is good all the time, we know our loved ones will be taken care of as they go through death and whatever comes next. So let's say this call and response one more time. We'll practice it. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. You know, how we understand the character of God and how we understand what Jesus came to teach affects how we read Scripture. If we read Scripture expecting to hear about a God who's angry or rigid or obsessed with retribution, if we think God is disappointed and disgusted by us humans, then we might read our passage today as one that has kind of a cold message. But if we read it keeping in mind this expansive, abundant love and goodness of God that we learned about through Jesus, then the passage can sound totally different. It's true with all passages. How you read it and how your Christian neighbor reads it and interprets it may sound vastly different because you come to it with a different base understanding of who God is. Today we're going to hear one of the rare passages where Jesus addresses life after life. Now, Jesus will often speak of the kingdom of heaven, but he says the kingdom of heaven is here, in you, among you. It's a now and always kind of thing. It's not talking only about afterlife. Now, some churches focus so much on heaven and hell and who's in and who's out and which one you're going to, makes it seem like lots of the scripture should be talking about those things, but really, it's rarely mentioned. So we don't preach on it much because in the lectionary, there's just not that many passages that come up. But today we'll take a moment to remind ourselves on All Saints Day that Jesus did believe in resurrection of the body. Now, critical to our interpretation of his words today is also remembering that Jesus spoke of God as Papa. This was earth-shattering, life-changing, huge. Jesus blows past the idea of God being fickle or angry, hard to please, requiring sacrifices, and instead, God is the perfect Father that lovingly welcomes home even the prodigal son. Now, this calling God Father can be a challenge for us in our society and then too, because how many times have kids heard the threat, wait till your father comes home? Well, I'm not going to be really excited to meet God if God is that kind of father. But Jesus calls him Papa, a term of endearment. It's a gentle, loving person. Papa isn't a God that's waiting to meet you with a list of all your wrongdoings when you die. Papa God is a God that's waiting to welcome you home, no matter what. Now, you've heard that there's two main groups of religious authorities and teachers at Jesus' time. There's the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We're not going to get into all the similarities and differences, but for today, you know, they interpreted scripture and created rules so that the people could follow the laws and the scripture in all the little ways it works out in your life, what to wear, what to eat, who to hang out with. They created all these rules for that. The Sadducees did not believe in resurrected life. The Pharisees did. That's a pretty big difference in beliefs within the Jewish faith. You can remember which is which because the Sadducees were sad, you see. They didn't believe in resurrection. So resurrection isn't simply your soul going on somewhere else, but the actual body raising, joining life with God in ways so good we can't even imagine. So, in spite of this big difference in belief between the Pharisees and Sadducees, they're both irritated at Jesus, so they're joining up to try to trap Jesus. Something else to know before we get into this passage is that from Moses' time, they had laws about how to care for widows. Typically, it meant if a woman was widowed and didn't have children, then her husband's brother would marry her so that she would be taken care of and hopefully given offspring, hopefully male offspring, because that would be her retirement plan. That's how she's taken care of, so she's not desperately poor. The kids, the girls would move out into their husband's homes, so you need to have a male child. So you're going to hear an absolutely absurd story in reference to this law. Now, the Sadducees are trying to trap Jesus because Jesus has been spending time. He's come back to Jerusalem, teaching in the temple, causing trouble by what he's saying with both religious and political authorities. So we've got both of Sadducees and Pharisees there. So it really, you know, if you're talking about resurrected life, and one believes one way and one believes the other way, it doesn't matter what you say, you're going to offend one of the groups. And they're just looking for an offense to trap Jesus and kick him out. Having said all that, let's listen now to Luke 20, 27 through 38. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Excuse me. Now, I know plenty of people who would hear Jesus say that y'all won't be married in heaven, and they'll say, thank God, because I don't ever want to be married to that person again, let alone for eternity. But conversely, there are many who would hear that and think, well, how in the world can you call that place heaven if I'm not married to the one I've loved my whole life? What kind of heaven is that? Like, usually we say, well, if heaven doesn't have our dogs, we don't want to be there. What about the spouses we loved? This is horrible news. However, when we remember the goodness of God as seen in Jesus, when we remember Jesus shows us a loving God he calls Papa, and if we really remember what we said earlier, God is good all the time, then we need to rethink this passage so that we can hear it in a way that aligns with that perspective. All we really know about resurrection is that Jesus tells us God is so good that we can infer that any resurrected life that's with God is going to be so much better than we can imagine. Our relationships with each other and with God will enter into a whole new plane of existence. They will be life-giving, as God is the God of the living. We will be like angels and children of God, Jesus says. And Jesus says nothing about what it's really going to be looking like. But if we read it through the promise of God is good, then I think we can trust that this is going to be spectacular. Better than even the best, most romantic marriage. This love that we are resurrected into is going to be better than any love we've experienced. So if we trust the words and actions of Jesus, then we can trust that Papa God is going to be more welcoming than any human we've ever met. This love will be better than any love we've ever experienced. But sometimes we don't trust that message. Maybe we don't trust that it's for us. Somehow we convince ourselves that we are not worthy. I don't know what causes that, but I know so many people somehow fall into that fear. They fear they aren't good enough for God to love them, which is ridiculous because God's all-powerful love has to be bigger than anything we do. They fear for their loved ones who maybe don't go to church. Maybe they claim atheism or they're not Christians. They fear that their loved ones will not be loved, which I would say is silly because God is omni-loving, all-loving. Nothing can be outside of God's love. And we fear we will disappoint God, the God who created us and called us good. Doesn't make sense. These fears lead us to trustlessness. And we've been talking about the things we need to extract from our lives as we move into this time of being grateful. Trustlessness is something we need to extract from our lives. Do you remember the cartoon or the comic strip Peanuts? And Lucy would always set up the football. Oh no, I'm not gonna pull it away, not this time. And Charlie Brown runs up to kick it, and what happens? Every single time she pulls it away. And somehow I think people might expect God to be like that. We say, well, God is love, but I don't know what's going to happen when I meet him face to face with all the things I've done in my life. When we do that, we might initially read the passage we read today and think, oh no, I'm not going to be married. We won't have a family. Maybe my dogs won't even be there. But those, or cats in my case, for now. But those images of resurrected life, of that separation, doesn't reflect extravagant love. And that's all we've heard from Jesus. So if Jesus says we will be alive with God, then that's going to be the best thing ever. God, the source of love. That will be our home and our family's home. And whatever our relationships are like then, they will be more wonderfully extravagant than what we had in this life. Now, just a caveat here. Yes, it will be wonderful, but let's not rush through this life. This is where people belong. And this is the gift we were given by God. We were born into this life, into this place, into this time. And at some point this life will end, but make the most of this life now. God is God of the living here and of the living in the next life. But God created us in these bodies on this earth to live life abundantly. So what is heaven like? What is resurrection like? We don't really know. But let's get rid of trustlessness and believe in the love we saw in Jesus. The love he spoke of in regard to God, and trust that God's love is sufficient. God's love is sufficient to welcome all in. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Amen.